Welcome to What's Money Got to Do with It? Based on the international best-selling book, where Heather and her co-authors share real-world financial scenarios and give you fresh new tools to help you move through your current financial state into one of abundance, freedom, and peace of mind. And now, here is your host, Heather Andrews.
Thank you for joining our show. Today, we are talking with Jay Chagrianis, and we're going to talk a lot about how to manage your emotions around money, savings, and spending, and how that has a ripple effect in your life. And Jay, we're so happy to have you here today. I'm excited.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited too. It's been a long time coming.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your journey, because I know you've done many things throughout your career and your life.
You know, it probably starts back when I was in university, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so I thought I'd follow my brother's footsteps, which was to learn finance. And so I got a finance degree, thinking that, well, if I get a finance degree, I'm going to be rich, because then I can invest and I can make all this money. But admittedly, in doing that, I never really followed through. I did have some jobs in the investing community, but I was scared to invest my own money. I really didn't make a plan for savings. And, you know, I just had the degree, and that's what it was. And I ended up going into sales, actually, because I didn't like sitting behind a computer screen. And I ended up in pharmaceutical sales and eventually medical sales. And through medical sales, I ended up being quite successful. I made significant amounts of money, and I never really paid attention to where that money went or how to save that money and what to do with it. And in 2017, I was laid off from my job. So sort of laid off. I was forced to resign from my job after going on sick leave. And I had to make some real life decisions at that point. I was struggling emotionally. I was struggling mentally, and I didn't know who I was without that big paycheck. I had made my identity solely around my job. So I was a salesperson. I sold these products, and that's therefore who I am. And so without that, I felt really lost for a long time and read a lot of books. I did a lot of soul searching and, ended up going to a Tony Robbins talk where he had several other speakers at his talk. So that was at around Christmas time. And meanwhile, I had started another business, started consulting for another business, which funny enough was to help companies to reduce their operating expenses. So everything was about saving money. But when I went to this talk with Tony Robbins and these other people, I started to think more about who I was and about why I was doing what I was doing. And that evolved into attending some seminars. The first one was a speaker called Nyerka. And Nyerka really went into, you know, that your thoughts control who you are and that you can change your thoughts to become who you want to become. And a lot of what she said really resonated, because I realized that my thoughts were mostly negative around a lot of my life, around not just money, but around a lot of my life. And so I started doing more research into what she was doing. She was teaching neuro-linguistic programming. Unfortunately, her course was extremely expensive, and I determined that that was not a good choice while I wasn't really working that much. And then Phil Town was also attending that seminar with Tony Robbins, and I really liked what he had to say about investing. And so I thought, you know, maybe it's time I start to get back into my finance roots and really understand what investing is all about. So I attended his weekend course and that was it. Like, I was, okay, I've got to do this. I've got to take control. And I introduced my husband, and we went down to the States and went to the program again and decided to get involved in the 2-year program that he teaches. So that's how to invest, how to research companies, you know, how to look at the global market as a whole, and actually take control of your future, because no one's going to do it for you. So we've been involved in that program now for a year, and still learning lots, and I got a long ways to go, but learning a lot that way. And then it's funny how things evolve. So in the fall, I was having a coffee with a friend, and she apologized for what she was wearing. And I said, why would you apologize for what you're wearing? Like, it's the middle of the afternoon, we're out for a coffee. Like, I don't care what you're wearing. And she said, well, you know, I don't spend a lot of money on my clothes. I shop at Superstore. I shop at Costco. And I said, no, I have lots of stuff from there. You know, I never really thought much of it. And she said, have you heard of minimalism? And I said, well, I think I've heard the term. I don't really know what it means. And I ended up going home that afternoon. And while I made dinner, I watched the show, The Minimalists. And it dawned on me right there and then that my spending had been linked to an emotional lack that I felt inside. So I would buy things trying to fill a big hole that I had. That's where questioning my thoughts and questioning my process around money and around a whole bunch of other parts of my life really started. A couple weekends later, my husband and daughter went away to a soccer tournament, and I sat down, something I'd never done, and I pulled all of our bank statements and all of our credit cards and everything that we spent in 1 year. And it took me hours. Actually, the first time I lost the file, I thought I was going to cry, but I started over and I did the whole thing, and I broke it into categories. And the categories were small, like Starbucks or clothing or drugstore spends, you know, going and buying makeup and, you know, spending money at a drugstore. I had put in doing renovations, things we spent on the house, like buying knickknacks for the house, things like that. And when I finished, I just about threw up when I realized what I was spending on stuff that really wasn't making a difference in my life and wasn't adding any value to my life. And at that moment, I determined that that was going to stop and that I was going to take control and I was going to manage my finances appropriately. And I was going to question what I was buying and why I was buying it.
I love it. It's so good. And just so much of what you just described. And I think that's why you and I like clicked the first time we met, because our stories are very similar in that I too was restructured. I too lost my identity, because my whole facet and my whole thinking of who I was and what I was supposed to be doing here on this earth was in that job and attached to that paycheck. And I used to think, oh, if I got the highest bonus, I'm so good, right? And so it was interesting to me as well. You know, when you walk through that space of when you lose your job, it really is an identity shift, and it's a huge loss. And I remember when I was asked to write about it in a book, I could not believe when I started writing how much of that came out. And I too began to question a lot of who I was. And then that took me into my own business, which definitely made me question a whole lot more. And when you talk about purchasing things for the wrong reasons, I was purchasing course after course after course, thinking I needed to know more, because I had that pit inside of me that it wasn't full. I've gone into debt in my business because of that hole. And it's a heck of a climb out just for the sake of something, just to try to fill a hole. And so when you talk about all of the ripple with that, it's huge. And so I am just, everything that you said, I was just absorbing and listening and going, bing, 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 bing.
And it's funny, because when I first started the job with Schooley Mitchell, the consulting job, to help these companies, I was like, well, I need a computer and I need a big screen and I need this and I need that. And I went out and I spent $20,000 like nothing for a business that I realized, I mean, I still do it. I still can consult with some companies, but I was just trying to be someone. I was trying to get a new identity where I would earn all this money so that I could be fulfilled. But what I realized in doing it after a while was, that wasn't fulfilling me. That's not what it was taking to fulfill me. So here I was again. Now I'm still paying that loan off with the money that I'm earning from that job. And yeah, like you just spend, and it's like, well, if I do this, I'll be happy. But if you think about it, weeks later, I couldn't even remember what I bought. I literally couldn't remember what I'd spent my money on.
So in this space right now, I know that you are on, like, and you've discovered something else that you have a passion for. Not just, you know, the questioning and the minimalistic approach and really getting your finances on track, but also like the mindset around the money story.
Yeah, it's led me down a lot of paths, actually. Once I did this whole minimalist thing, and I'm not a full-on minimalist, I have a lot of cleaning to do still, don't get me wrong, but I've definitely changed my spending ways. I started to look at how I could really dig into my own belief system about everything. And I started taking courses. Now, I found my neuro-linguistic programming course and my coaching courses at a bargain price, and not because they were poor courses. They're absolutely incredible, but because the person who's leading them believes that the whole world needs this information. And so he's made it very affordable. I do them online, and I've grown a million times. The people I've met through this have just been incredible. So I now have learned to question my thoughts around many, many areas of my life. So health and wellness, for example, I wasn't exercising for a long time. When I had my old job, the stress was too much. I quit exercising. I felt like crap. I'm back exercising now because I realized that all I was doing was making an excuse. Just like the spending, I was making excuses. I've become a plant-based diet. I've gone off meat. I started to question myself, why am I eating this? Why am I doing this, you know, cruelty to animals and things? And not because I think everyone should be a vegetarian or a vegan or anything like that, but for me, it made me question, you know, if I'm really truly being true to myself, is this part of my journey or not? And so I did the research. I do the research into everything now, and I question and question and question my belief systems. So my belief system being, you know, I had to make millions of dollars. My belief system being, I had to eat meat. My belief system being, I had to spend money. I had to wear certain clothes. I question everything now. It just makes me so much more grounded. I feel so much happier, and I don't feel like I have to follow the trends anymore in order to fit in. And that was one thing I did a lot. It's like, well, if I carry this purse, then people will notice me. Or if I drive this car, people will notice me. And, you know, people will like me better because I have these things, but I don't really think like that's what life's about anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's just the thing. It's like, even like, and it was interesting because I have this car and we just paid it off. And my husband's like, let's go get a different one. And I'm like, no, I like my car. I don't want to drive because I just, it's barely broken in. And it's like, no, I don't want a new car. I really, really like my old car. And I really, really don't want the payment. I have other things I would rather spend my money on, like, you know, certain things in my business, not a new car. And, you know, and things like that. So I find it very fascinating. And I think when one night when we were talking, you talked a lot around what it felt like to actually sit in that space. And this is where I kind of want to hone in on real quick, is when you were doing that budget and you looked at your credit cards and your bank statements and you were looking at them and you were surprised with what you found. And, you know, whether it was overspending or what you spent your money on. But the biggest piece here is the mindset. So when we come from that place of lack, or I never have enough money, it's kind of like I never have enough money because I don't know where my money's going. And you have to almost sit down, like as if you were to start a new food plan. Like, I don't know how come I'm not losing weight. Well, I'm eating chocolate chips out of the pantry. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that contributes to weight gain, but I'm just saying if you're not cognizant and paying attention to it, you won't know where it goes. And I think that's the biggest thing, is everybody's so busy in today's world that at some point it's more than just money. It's more than just health. It's more than just, it's more. And how much do we pay attention to even the person next to us or living in the same house? It's like, hey, how are you? Like, how really are you? Like, are you doing okay? And I think it as a whole in society, when you and I were talking that day, it was just really stopping the chaos to really hone in on the things that we need to kind of get on track.
We totally could have been retired, but we aren't. And we now we've got years to go because probably mostly like my husband's actually really quite good with money. I have to take accountability. It was me. I had to have the house. I had to have the car. I had to have the nice clothes, you know, the fancy furniture, all of those things. And, you know, he would say to me every once in a while, do you really know where the money's going? I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Like I make a big paycheck. Who cares? Right. And I just honestly ignored it. So, you know, he'll say to me sometimes, you have a finance degree. I'm like, yeah, so I have an education. It doesn't mean I actually use it. Right. And so, you know, I made all these excuses until the day it was almost like waking up. And that's what's happening in my whole life now. It's like I'm waking up to all these new realizations that I've been had all these beliefs and I've been lying to myself for so long about everything because it was convenient. They were convenient truths for me, right? But inconveniently now, we've got a ways to go, unfortunately.
Well, and me too, because after my restructuring, I started a company but I think the biggest thing is that I say is that I've invested in my company on my own. I have built this thing I've used credit cards and got loans and things like that, but I've used my own resources to get where I am today. And I've learned, but the things that I have learned about myself are so huge. And so when you talk about it as a whole, it's mindset, it's changing the lack mentality to one of abundance in that today I sit okay and I just have to get through today. And I know where I'm going. But at the end of the day, in a business though, you need to know the numbers. You need it. Yeah, you need to know the numbers. You need to track the numbers. And it's just like anything in your life, you have to pay attention to it. And there are going to be sacrifices, you know, like we can have it all, but there's always something that gets sacrificed in the midst of it, always. And, you know, like if you want more money, you have to sacrifice time with your family. If you want, you know, and I think we were talking about that just before the podcast started. And so if you can just go back on that, because that was brilliant about how what you were saying about your children and how you're raising them now.
Well, and that's the thing. When I was working, honestly, they talk about not being there. I wasn't there. I mean, I physically was in the room with my family. I was never there. My mind was always on work. I was answering text messages till 11 at night. And it's all I thought about. All I thought about was where is my next sale coming? And I couldn't focus on my family. And if anyone said anything to me, I snapped. I'd lose my mind because I was so strung out. And, you know, in this whole journey, I've taking accountability of my money, I've now determined that, like, I do side jobs. I have little things going on here and there. But it's more important for me now to be at home for my kids while they're teenagers. And because I've taken control of the finances, we're able to do that. So, you know, I'm doing little things. I bring in a couple thousand dollars here and there, but I'm not tied to it. So I'm not, because I have a budget now. I know how much is coming in. I know how much is coming out. And we still do things, but I don't think we lack, actually. I don't think we lack at all. If anything, I think we have more. So we still go on vacations because that's family time and that's important, you know, and that's in the budget now. So whereas before the vacation, we did the vacation, we did the new car, we did the new house, we did, you know, new clothes and it just went on and on. Now we give up a few things, but I don't really see it as giving anything up because family time is there.
And I mean, I've decided, you know what I mean? That came up for me in this last year as well. And my children are older and it was just interesting to me because my oldest son came back and he's in university and he said, and my youngest son and my daughter, and they're all in there, like they're 17, 18 and 21. And it was just interesting to me because they all said, you know, and you always think that your kids at that ages don't really need you. And so I was traveling for my business. I was traveling for other reasons to, you know, because I've been in my company and I've been all absorbed. And there's been a price to pay in that. It was a learning curve for me, but I'm actually grateful that my son you know, hit his wall in university. And he came home and said, some days I don't think that you are there for us. And I said, but I'm always here for you. And it was like, no, I haven't. I have been all absorbed in my company because I needed to be there, and I needed, because I was growing it. But in that growth space, I forgot, even though I thought that they were all okay, and they are, but they needed me back in their life. And so that has really made me step into hiring a team, hiring people to help me, hiring and really shifting, you know, social media platforms so that I have family time. And so it's not just, so money ripples into many different areas. And I think that's the beautiful piece of what we've created and the opportunities that have come out of it just from one shift in money. And you know, and I mean, that's turned also into a writing, like a writing, your passion for writing.
Yeah, I didn't realize I enjoyed writing so much until I met you. And then I thought, hey, I quite enjoyed this.
And so I am just so pleased because, you know, so you discovered, you know, you have all these other things going on, and it's made you question with curiosity, not judgment, about the things that you were making choices about. And I think that's the other thing in all of this, is that when we start to question, it kind of is a bit uncomfortable. But I think if you approach it with, you know, the curiosity factor, like, I wonder what my body would feel like if I didn't eat meat. I wonder what would happen if I didn't buy that purse. I wonder what would happen if I wore the same black dress to the Christmas party. I'm going to tell you, no one's going to notice.
People are absorbed in their own lives. They're worrying about what they're doing. They're not worrying about what you're doing. And if they are, it's because it's a reflection of a relationship they have with themselves. That was one of the biggest things. And if people are gossiping about you, or they're, you know, they're cutting you down, or they're saying mean things to you, it's because of their relationship with themselves, which in turn, I had to look at myself and go, what am I doing to other people or saying about other people that is a reflection of who I am? And it's uncomfortable, but you're right. I've done it without judgment, and I've done it with a curiosity to question my own thinking and forgiven myself, because I can't go back. I can't change the things that I've done in my life, but I can forgive myself and move forward as a better person. And that's the most important thing. The spending I've done. It's over. But now I can go on the right track, and things will just keep going, as you know, in a more positive light, and we'll save more, right? We'll do better things.
Well, and I think also it's a belief system. And so we might have been raised one way, but at the end of the day, when we open ourselves up to something with curiosity and just step into something and just ask the questions and look at the numbers and take the time to stop the chaos and stop the swirl, and take control of what happens in our lives, and be accountable to ourselves first, the world shifts around you. It really does.
It does.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, because, you know, my father and mother were very good with money. They still are. And I knew that, but they never taught me how to be good with money. The one thing I knew is you always paid off your credit card. That was a for sure. That I did know. But they didn't take the time to actually teach me. And maybe because they didn't know, like, they didn't know how to invest, and they didn't know how to, like, compound interest and all of those things, right? They just knew how to not spend a lot of money. And, you know, I write that in the book, that I think it's so important that we take the time to teach our kids. So that's one of the things I've been doing with my daughter, right? Just little things, like, you know, if you have $500 today, you can go out and buy yourself, you know, that iPhone you want or whatever you want. But if you save that and you can make 8% interest on it, here's what it'll be worth when you're 40, right? And just to get that idea in there. And then in the same regard with debt. So she's a kid. She had dad's credit card to buy lunch one day, and she thought, well, this is great, and did it 5 days in a row. So $50 later, right? And she was getting her allowance. They get a fixed allowance every month. We said, okay, well, you spent $50 on food on dad's credit card, so $50 comes out of your allowance. She's like, oh, and I said, okay, but now let me paint that picture for you. You have $50 on that credit card. Let's say that you don't have a job and you don't have an allowance, and that $50 the next month, you now owe $59 because of that 19% interest charge. And then I kept going and going, and she's like, okay, stop. I get it. But people don't think that way. And credit card debt is so huge, but they're like, but I have cash. I can buy something over here. But you're paying 19% interest on that credit card, right? That is the one lesson I'm glad my parents did teach me. Don't carry credit card debt.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and you know, and I mean, but then in our world today, there's like, I went to a course and the biggest piece was around, you know, credit rating. And I'm telling you, without a credit rating, but if you pay it off, your credit rating goes up. If you get into credit card debt and you end up consolidating with a credit agency or something, you plummet into the hole, and then you're totally hooped. So it's just being cognizant, right? And that is probably one of the biggest things that I've learned in that space is, you know, just cognizance, just so on being aware of what you need, what you don't need, why you need it. And it's caused me to question a lot of things too. And instead of going out and buying a whole new spring rotor, I basically, it's more important to maintain my weight so I can fit into the clothes the next summer.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. That can be an expensive venture, needing new clothes every year because you gain 10 pounds.
Absolutely. And so I am just so grateful that you were able to join us today. And just really, like, as we wrap up, where can people find you on social media to, you know, to help you, to help so that you can help them understand their own money story and how it ripples in their life?
Well, I do have a business page on Facebook. It is under my name, so Jay Chugrianis, and then it's called Mind Over Matter Project. So I'm kind of starting a project to make people, or to hopefully help people to question their own thinking, not just around money, but around lots of areas of their life. And I do a little bit of blogging on there, and just hopefully it helps people think. So that's my whole purpose.
Absolutely. I love it. And so thank you, Jay, for joining us today. And once again, I thank you to every single one of you who joined this podcast. And just really, I think the most beneficial thing today is just as you walk away from this podcast, just really take the time to pay attention to the things in your life if something seems out of control. And just really question with curiosity if something doesn't seem right. You have the control and the accountability to self to pose those, and you can change that for you. And if you need any help with that, we have the beautiful Jay Chugrianis, who is waiting to hear from you so she can help you. Thanks again, Jay, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Heather.
Perfect. And I thank each and every one of you, our listeners, and I wish you a very blessed day. And I'm Heather Andrews, helping you reach a life, stellar life, which is one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, activity, and a resiliency for better relationships and your relationship with money and a different belief system. So till then, go out and live your stellar life.
Now that Heather and her guest have shared a little about some real world financial scenarios, she invites you to get your very own copy of What's Money Got to Do with It? Visit the Follow It Through Publishing website at www.followitthroughpublishing.com. That's spelled FOLLOWITTHROUPUBLISHING.com. In this book, you will learn that financial success is anything but guaranteed, and that it is even more difficult if you have chosen to follow the entrepreneurial path. You will be given tools to help you focus on your freedom from debt, be grateful for your financial journey toward fiscal empowerment, and how you can forgive yourself for financial mistakes you may have made. Remember, success cannot be judged on your bank account alone. But if you want to create a positive shift in your bank balance, you will need to learn how to change your relationship with money. Do you have a story to share? If you are interested in becoming part of a book compilation, please contact Heather by going to www.followitthroughpublishing.com and clicking Contact. Thank you for listening. For more episodes, please visit the Tenacious Living Network at tlrstation.com.